So that is one of the songs of degrees. It says a song of degrees for Solomon. This one and Psalm 72 are the only psalms that have Solomon's name attached to them. This has led many scholars to think that Psalm 127 is not talking about building a home, but building the house of the Lord, because that was Solomon's job, obviously. All right, our first reading is Romans chapter 11. Let's turn there together. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is, or is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity. But toward the goodness, if thou continue in his goodness otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. This chapter concludes Paul's arguments answering the potential objection about the promises that God seemed to make to national Israel and what that looks like going forward, because now we see all of the Gentiles coming into the church, and we see also that Israel has largely rejected Christ. So what about the promises of God here? So this is the last chapter of that argument. We saw in chapter 9 the doctrine of election. We saw in chapter 10 the doctrine of the preached word and having faith in Christ. Now we come to this illustration of the olive tree and what the future looks like for Jews and Gentiles both. Okay, so have God cast away his people? That's the first question that Paul asks. And notice what the answer is. The answer is no. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So Paul's first answer to that question is, no, God has not cast off his people. Look at me. I'm a Jew. If God had cast off the Jews, that would include me. But I have faith in Christ, so God didn't cast me off. And as we learned in the last couple of chapters, this is all by the election of grace. So God has elected some. There is a remnant according to the election of grace, as we read in verse 5 here. And Paul is a part of that. Just like the 7,000 were in the days of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah had holed himself up in a cave, fearing Jezebel's wrath because the 450 prophets of Baal had died at Elisha's hand, as he commanded the children of Israel to go and to slay those prophets after they were seen to be false when the fire came down upon the altar on Mount Carmel. And so then, fearing the wrath of Jezebel, he hid himself in a cave, and the Lord asks him, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I've been very zealous, and now they seek my life, just like it says here in Romans 11. And then the Lord tells him, I have 7,000. You're not alone. There is a remnant according to the election of grace among Israel. And so Paul will begin that to answer this question of what about Israel by saying there is an Israel within Israel that God has foreknown and he does not cast off because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't promise and then repent from his promise. Okay, so then, notice we have a statement of works and grace in chapter 6. Verse 6. It is by the election of grace. If it's grace, it can't be works. And if it's works, it can't be grace. Let's be content with what Paul writes in Romans 11:6 and stop in the Reformed world trying to mingle grace and works because they don't mingle well. If it's works, it's not grace. And if it's grace, it's not works. He's already taught us this before, hasn't he? Right? In that there is a There's a statement of debt, right? If we're working, then we draw God into our debt and he owes us something. But if it's debt, then it can't be grace. It's an exchange, and it's not by way of exchange. So then in verse 7, he uses that rabbinic phrase, what then, ti'un, what then? What is the outcome? How do we conclude from all of this? Right? This is how the rabbis put it. They said, here's the condition, here's the condition, here's the condition. What shall we do? What then? Here's the condition, here's the condition, here's the condition. Israel is largely an unbelieving nation. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. What then? What is the conclusion of that matter? What should we think about it? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, right, as we heard in the last chapter, because they sought it not by grace, not by faith, but by works instead. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded, and they were blinded by none other than God himself. It's God who blinded their eyes. Let their table be made a snare, and he'll quote from several Old Testament passages there that speak about God hardening those even among his own people who refuse to hear him. So that's what we have down through verse 9, or verse 10. So then, the apostle will ask another question, a sort of antagonistic question. Have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, is it always going to be this way? Is it always going to be that very few in Israel are saved, right? Or will the nation largely of itself always be unbelieving? And so scholars are divided as to exactly what the question is that's being asked. Have they stumbled that they should fall? You mean like Israel as a nation or those within Israel? What is it? Well, notice, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Remember, I told you to remember that word jealousy from chapter 10, because it's a part of the same argument. This provocation to jealousy is something that the Lord will use to bring the Israel within Israel to himself. Now, it's important when we read through the book of Acts to see that there are several times where the Jews are moved with envy or jealousy, and that's not the jealousy we're talking about here. That's a sinful jealousy by which they continue to refuse the Lord. What Paul is talking about here is a jealousy that is stirred up in them for God, seeing Gentiles coming into the church, coming in their room. Okay, so the rest of this chapter then speaks about the future of Israel as a nation and what it looks like. And I will tell you that there is a division among godly scholars as to what actually is being taught here. And I want to show you some things and show you why I believe what I do about this passage, which may be, well, it's Calvin's view, but I think it may be the minority with regard to Reformed Presbyterianism. Okay? So let's move forward with that. So, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness in verse 12. You see that word fullness there. How much more their fullness? Some scholars have taken that to mean, well, their fullness, that means that Israel as a nation recognizably is going to come to faith in Christ someday. Okay, but Paul uses that same word with regard to fullness of the Gentiles in verse 25, and we don't think that about the Gentiles, that all of the Gentiles are going to come to faith in Christ. So fullness there doesn't necessarily mean that it's all of the Jewish nation, but the fullness of that election within Israel. That's what I think. So then the apostle will speak to the Gentiles, and he'll be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, but he also has in mind that it's not Gentiles alone to whom he ministers, because he's provoking others that are of his flesh, that is, are of the stock of Israel as he is, that they also, some of them, might be saved. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So we have the first fruit and the lump, we have the root and the branches, and then Paul takes this into a brand new illustration about the olive tree. So there is an olive tree that Paul speaks of, and the olive tree is the church of Jesus Christ. Old Testament, New Testament, considered agelessly. And so there are Jews that were a part of that have been broken off, and Gentiles that were not a part of that have been grafted on to that tree. Well, that tells us that this has to be speaking of the visibility of the church, because in the invisible church, nobody's grafted in and grafted out. Right? What we're talking about is the earthly administration of the gospel and the church here on earth, spoken of now under the figure of an olive tree. And notice that Paul never speaks of Israel as anything other than discrete branches. That's also a very interesting development with regard to what is being spoken of here with regard to all Israel shall be saved. All those branches that are grafted in shall be saved. He always speaks of Israel here with regard to the olive tree as discrete branches rather than a mass of branches all coming at the same time. Okay. So, God spared not natural branches. Take heed lest he spare not you. And so Gentiles, like us, are counseled not to be haughty because we have come in the room of the Jews who have been broken off. We stand by faith and must continue in faith. As Paul will write to the Ephesians and the Colossians, as you have received Jesus Christ, in parentheses, by faith, so walk ye in him. Right? Faith is that which not only begins our walk, but continues our walk with Christ from beginning, middle, to end. And the Gentiles are also cautioned that because they were wild branches grafted into the natural tree, that is something against nature. And yet, notice then that they should the more appreciate what God has done for them in the days of the New Testament, that the gospel would be brought to their feet as well. Okay, so now he'll come to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, so there are some things going on in this verse that are, you know, in the original language that we don't need to drive into here. But what most people do when they read this is, okay, so there's another shoe that we're looking for to be dropped here, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so then what we see in the next verse, and so all Israel shall be saved. And most folks read that as, and then all Israel shall be saved. But it's not then. It's not the Greek word for then. It's the Greek word for thus. And thus shall all Israel be saved. And what can all Israel mean there, except, and especially after this section on the one olive tree and the branches from the Jews and the branches from the Gentiles all being grafted there in that olive tree, then this all Israel must pertain to that visible olive tree, and that is the tree that shall be saved, Jews and Gentiles together. Remember, Paul says that you would not be ignorant of this mystery, and in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, the apostle expands that knowledge of that mystery, which is what? That the Gentiles will be fellow heirs with the Jews in that one new man, which is Christ. So, for those reasons, I think that all Israel shall be saved is speaking of the full tale of the election of grace from Jews and Gentiles. That's also Calvin's view and a few older divines. The majority report in Reformed Presbyterianism, however, is that what Paul is saying here, and it's not a bad view, and I don't, I'm not saying it's an error, it's just not what I think the passage is teaching, is that there will be a large resurgence of Jews toward the end of the ages before Christ returns. A large resurgence so that it will look like a national conversion of Israel. It's not my view, but it is a godly view that others have. Okay, and so all Israel shall be saved as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, quoting from Isaiah, when I shall take away their sins. Now that Israel within Israel is concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but it's touching the election. They are beloved for the Father's sakes, and he's already told us who that election is. Back in verse 5, the election according to the remnant, or the remnant according to the election of grace. So, the gifts and calling of God are not, are indeed without repentance. They don't, he doesn't go back on his word. So, what has the Lord done then? He's had a people that were physically related to Abraham and his, quote, seed. That seed became apostate 200 or 300 years before Christ came, although they had apostatized and come back many times before that. The Lord is going to bring back the elect from within that nation to himself. And how is he going to do it? He's going to do it by taking the kingdom of God away from them and giving it to a nation that will bring forth its fruits. Matthew chapter 21, and provoke them to jealousy. And by provoking them to jealousy, the elect according to the remnant according to the election of grace will come back into the church. And so God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And so we note another equivocation there. All right, so when we come to the end of the passage, the last four verses, 33 through 36, is Paul taking a step back from what he's just revealed and saying, who else would have done it that way but God? How is it that God has made sure that every elect Israelite, although they are in the midst of a nation that is unbelieving and that has suffered under the blindness that God has put on them, how is it that they will not be lost, the election of grace from within Israel? And how will Gentiles who didn't know God at all, who were without hope and without God in the world, how shall they come to faith in Christ as well? And Paul takes a step back and he says, who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been his counselor? How deep and rich are his wisdom and knowledge? How unsearchable his judgments and his ways past finding out? Or as we speak in our modern parlance, who'd have thunk it to do it like that? Only God. And why did he do it that way? Because that's the way where he loses none. He loses none in that way. Who is first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. That's how the chapter ends. Well, let's stand and call upon